So I thought we'd try to speak about a little bit of Yom Yomo. We're trying to base most of our remarks around the Pasuk of Erev Shabbos Pasuk that we say multiple times throughout the day of Rosh Hashanah. It's a Pasuk actually that is not in Chumash per se, it's in Tehillim. Tiku b'chodeshoifer b'kesel yom chageinu ki chag yisom b'shmalach yakud. So there are many, many halachas, much b'pshava, that emanates in that Pasuk. So we'll try to learn the sugya tonight, or the sugya of that Pasuk. Tiku b'chodeshoifer, that way When we make Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah in the daytime, we'll know a little bit more about what we're saying. When we belt out that pasuk, those who say it, I for sure answer, at least we'll have a better, deeper havana. That's what that pasuk is all about. So Chazal tells us, Masech Rosh Hashanah, Teshuvah Peh explains to us that pasuk is actually referring to the Yom of Rosh Hashanah, even though from the Pshuta Shemikra, it's hard to tell which day exactly that this pasuk is talking about. Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar, B'Kesem Chagein, it sounds like you're blowing the shofar in Rosh Chodesh. So the Torah Shabbat explains that's not true. We don't blow shofar. I mean, it's the Kis Chatzitzus of Rosh Chodesh. We don't mitzvah to kiss shofar on Rosh Chodesh. So it's referring to a very, very specific Rosh Chodesh. Which one? The Kesel Liyem Chageinu. It's talking about a Rosh Chodesh that's a chag, but it's a chag, a very unique chag. It's a chag she Chodesh Piskas Abo. It's the only time when you have a yontif that you can't see the moon. You know, all the other Yom Tov, the moon is in its space, and sometimes in its full glory. Even in Shavuos, the moon is at least halfway out. The only Yom Tov, the only Chag that we have on record that you can't see the moon at all is Bekesel Yom Chageinu. Every Yom is a Rosh Hashanah. It's on Aleph Tishrei, so the moon is not visible. A very, very tiny, tiny sliver of the moon is visible at the end of the day on Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, Kach Nemra, in Teshu Vapeh, that this Pasuk Dillim is referencing the Yom Tov Dak of Rosh Hashanah. Tikka Bechei Bishayfa. The Pasuk describes the mitzvah of shofar. And it describes the mitzvah of shofar because there's two very, very important words about this mitzvah of shofar. One is the word tiku, and the other is the word shofar. Why is that so important for us to know? Because if you look in Chumash, the Torah, at least considering Rosh Hashanah, actually mentions neither of those two terms. That the term tikiya doesn't appear in the Chumash bechlau in the context of shofar, and even the word shofar doesn't appear in the Chumash, at least considering Rosh Hashanah. So how do we know that the entire mitzvah, how do we know we blow shofars in Rosh Hashanah? We blow shofars in Rosh Hashanah. So the Torah does say, Yom Tru Yalachem. The Torah does say, Zichron Tru Mikra Kodesh. The Torah does speak about making sounds. The Teshu Vapeh explains, the Targum Unchus explains that the word Trua means a broken sound. So a broken sound, using what instrument? So maybe you're supposed to use a flute, you're supposed to use a harmonic, you're supposed to use a keyboard. How do you know what the sound is? Yom Tshuva just means a lot of sounds, a lot of broken sounds. How do you know which instrument you're supposed to use? So the Torah Shabbat Peh explains to us that it says the word Trua by Rosh Hashanah, and it says the word Trua by Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. Varta Shofar Trua. So there, Taka uses the word Shofar. And we think we know what a Shofar is, and we'll soon find out what a Shofar is. So just as you have to use a shofar for the mitzvah of blowing on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, so too you have to use a shofar for the mitzvah of blowing on Rosh Hashanah as well. And that idea, that Teshuvah Peh, that we have that comparison of the tkiyas of Rosh Hashanah and the tkiyas of Yovel, so that is the support about this pasuk in Tehillim, the tikkun b'chodesh the shofar, that in fact the shofar is what's going to be used. So everything revolves around that magic word shofar. What's called the shofar? How do you know what's called the shofar? What's not called the shofar? So the Mishnah tells us in the third paragraph of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that kol shofar is k'sherim, that the word shofar related to the word like shofar, it's like a tube, it's a hollowish thing that comes in the head of the animal, but there's no specific animal that has to come from. All shofars are kosher as long as it has that tubing, as long as it has that hollowness, that ability to blow out of it. So that technically speaking, kol shofar is k'sherim. The Mishnah quotes about Machlokes HaTanoim about whether you're supposed to use a straight shofar, or you're supposed to use a curved shofar. Some animals have horns that are straight, and other animals that one we're familiar with have horns that are curved. So which one should you use? So one Tana says you should use a straight shofar. The other Tana says you should use a curved shofar. So the Taisus, the most of you should understand, but that machlekes HaTanoim is not really about what's ma'akev. That the word shofar, if you look up in Halachapedia, the word shofar means anything that comes off the head of the animal that has an opening to it, that has the ability to form into a tube, a hollow kind of a structure that a sound is going to come out of, that's called the shofar noach. Called the shofar is kshirim. The noach and the machlokes, what's the most lechatchila dik away? Is it nice to blow? Is it nice to blow? Why would anybody say one way? If they're all called shofars, why should they give any mila to one over the other? So the Gemara gives you very, very interesting hashkafic reasons that since shofar is related to tefillah, it's a primary theme in the mitzvah tekiyah shofar, so the shofar should look a little bit, should have the tzur of like a person davening. That's what it should look like. So again, that's not a din d'oraisa, like the Nosi Shem, it's a hidul, chachilut, like a nice idea. So what is the tzur of a person davening? So the Gemara says there are two different tzurus of davening. So sometimes a person davens, some people daven standing straight, paying attention, like the... I guess it's in the other hermit today, like the, what are they called? What are those guys in Buckingham Palace? The guys who stand guard at the palace, what are they called?
Beefeaters.
Who?
Beefeaters.
No. The guys at the palace who watch guard the key. No, there's a name with the B, there's a name for them.
Beefeaters.
No,
that's what they're called.
Beef eaters? They eat beef? No, there's some other name for them. There's another.
Beef eaters.
No. Dr. Kratz comes closer to England than we do, so from Europe. There's another name for them. So afterwards, you let me know what there's a more, maybe more American name for the guys who stand at
the Yeoman
Guard. What? There's another name for the guys, would it be? I don't know what it is. Okay, we'll figure out what it is. So those guys, they stand mamish in attention. They stand like, you know, like statues. So the Gemara quotes that one Tana said, you daven, because it's like a statue. You're in front of them. I couldn't even think of budging. It's inappropriate to budge. And then the Gemara quotes, no, there's a different sur of davening. The other sur of davening is, I'm humbling myself in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom, so I'm bending down in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So the Gemara says that's the imagery of a shofar that's kofof, a shofar that's bent over. So that was the machlokes that the Noam, is it more appropriate to resemble a bent shofar or a straight shofar? So we paskin that a bent shofar is more correct. You'd be yaitu with a straight shofar. Well, it's more correct to be a bent shofar. Then the Gemara says, in the first paragraph of the second Shoshana, it says, an added hidur, you should not, in Paras, when you're ready using a bent shofar, so you should use a ram's horn. Why dafka ram's horn? Well, this kolachem akeh this yitzvah. So that's an added mile of, again, those are all Hidurim and Chachilas and Derabonas, all those kinds of things. But our Torah, according to most of the Rishonim, call a Shofar Ksheirim, because that's what the technical word Shofar means. But then the Gemara has another point. There's all of a sudden, the Mishnah tells us, and the Gemara elaborates in the Sech Shoshana for the Parak, that in addition to having that hollowness and having the ability to blow through, it has to also be known, the Lashon, either Bnei Adam, Lashon Torah, whatever the Lashon that's conveyed is, has to be known as a shofar. Has to be called the shofar. So you could theoretically have something that may have a sense of chertz of a shofar, may have that ability to be that hollow tube, but it's not called the shofar. The Maase has another name for it. So it has another name for it. That's not a shofar, but Torah. Even though it's a funny thing, the Torah never says shofar, but it does say shofar. It says shofar by Yovel. It's compared to Rosh Hashanah. It says tikkubach the shofar dilam. So it's got to be a chalos chertz for the shofar. So what would be an example of something that technically should have been okay, but it's the lashon is fall short? So the Mishnah says that's a shofar shel para, that a cow's horn, people don't really call a shofar. A cow's horn is really technically called the keren. So that's not a shofar. Shofar and keren are two different things. So that's the reason why the Mishnah says that you can't use a shofar shel para, because you're nikra keren. Then the Gemara adds on other reasons why you can't use a shofar shel para. Well, it's two other reasons. One is because ein ken tegen asas an egar, that the para is reminiscent of the egel azov, and therefore you don't want to blow the egel azov on the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah. And then Gemara gives another reason, because as a din, that shofar echad b'chol moshtan shel shofar, that the shofar has to be one unit. So if you would take, let's say I would cut up a shofar, three shofars and boom together in one, and a nice, beautiful sound is going to come out of it, that wouldn't be good, because that's not a shofar echa. It's got to be shofar mechamana b'loshtam shloshi shofars. So there's a similar din, like we'll hopefully get to in the second part of Gittin, shofar echa mechamana b'loshtam shloshi shofars. You can't write a half again on one piece of paper, half again on another piece of paper, and then connect them and then hand them off to the woman. It's got to be shofar echa mechamana. So the Gemara says that when a cow's horn grows, it grows like in different layers, that it gives off. You look next time, look carefully at pulls on, so you'll notice that it comes in different layers, and therefore it gives off that impression. It's like a shtickle shtayim shlosha shofars. So it sounds to the Gemara that's also like a din derais. That's somehow that's considered to be a shtayim shlosha. So ram's horn doesn't grow in that manner, and therefore it doesn't have those units, those different layers, and therefore ram's horn is okay. But a par is no good. So the Gemara gives, strange enough, three different reasons why a shofar is no good. And only one of those reasons appear in the Mishnah. The Gemara and some added on other reasons, but in the Mishnah itself, it only says that reason because it's Nikra Kerin, not Nikra Shefer. I only one time had a shayla about this. There was one guy called me, Joe called me during the Rosh Hashanah of COVID, and they called me that they were stuck out of town. A guy lived somewhere in the middle of the Nabuni somewhere, and he didn't have any access to get a chauffeur. Couldn't find a chauffeur. So I don't know, couldn't get delivery. I don't know exactly what the problem was. Couldn't get a chauffeur. The only thing he was able to get, he got a, he found a lineup as a bullhorn. A real live bullhorn. Not live anymore, but it came from a bull's horn. So we wanted to know, could he be the evidence? If he can't find the chauffeur, could he blow a bullhorn? So I said, Baruch Hashem, you're the first person in 1800 years to ask that shayla. So the answer is no. The Mishnah said, bull, bull's a cow. So I said, chauffeur, shal para. The Mishnah says, there's no good. Pasha says, no good in that Torah. So is he really wasting your time? I said, so then he asked me, should, if he can't get a chauffeur, should he at least blow that as a zecher? So I said, no. I said, it's also to blow that, because you're not allowed to blow instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So I said, the only head that blow chauffeurs, because it's a tzitzkiya chauffeur. I said, if you start blowing a bull's horn, let's say playing the piano, or playing the drums on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's also, so I don't know what happened after that, I'm not sure. Anyway, back to that story. So it has to be a chauffeur, have you defined a chauffeur and jerk? But then the pasuk in Tehillim also uses the phrase tiku. It says you have to be takea, the chauffeur. So the phrase tekiya doesn't appear by Rosh Hashanah Adam, right? But it doesn't appear by Yoiv Alida. The only time in Chumash that the Torah speaks about a tekiya is by the Chatzotzius. The Pesukim Pesh Balos, the speaker was Katem Truashenis, Katem Muskatem, etc. So here the Pesuk uses the phrase tekiya. Whereas here, by Yoiv, it says, Ba'ayt the chauffeur Trua, V'yomachalish Asir, Yomachibur Tavir, Yishuvam Chalayat Zechem. It doesn't really speak about a tekiya by Rosh Hashanah. Zichah doesn't talk about a shofar by Rosh Hashanah. So that phrase tekiya conjures up a whole other image. There is a big machlokes in Rishonim about what the role of tekiya shofar is all about. So when the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Shofar, quotes the mitzvah of tekiya shofar, he does not use the word tekiya. The Rambam writes, mitzvah is in the Shema Kol HaShofar. But the mitzvah is to hear the shofar. The mitzvah is not to blow the shofar. What led the Rambam to believe that the mitzvah is to hear the shofar? So the Rambam probably got it from the Mishnah in the third part of Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah says, the guy is tekeles a chabor, the guy blows the shofar into a pit. So in kol shofar shomei yotzei, kol bar shomei yotzei, he hears the sound of the actual authentic sound of the shofar that he's yotzei. But all he hears is the echo, then he's not yotzei, he was tekeh the shofar. So it's clear that the key is not really that important, that the real mitzvah is the shmias shofar. So the Rambam probably also got it from the fact that the Mishnah speaks about one Baal Tekeh. The Mishnah says one guy gets up and blows shofar for the whole tzibur. Nobody else is blowing the shofar, so how are they yetzer? So the answer is, there is no mitzvah tekiya. The mitzvah is the Shema Kol Shofar, which is exactly why the Nusach HaBarach, according to the we follow Halacha, is the Shema Kol Shofar, because the Barach is usually synonymous with the etzer of the mitzvah. You, very often you have shailas about the longness of a particular mitzvah, so you can learn an awful lot from Birchaz HaMitzvah. We learned Psachim 2 years ago, we spent weeks learning the Sugyas of Zion, because the Lashon of the Bracha and the Brismila and the Pidra Ben and the Bechametz and the Sluzov and Sukkah can somehow tell those worlds about the essence of what the mitzvah is all about, on love of their Isa. Even though Birchaz HaMitzvah is only Midir Rabbanan, this is true, we kind of many Midir Rabbanan very often. When we learn Dirim Dir Rabbanan, so not only we have to learn Dirim Dir Rabbanan also, no question about that. The Rav had a famous comment once. The Rav said that when you do a mitzvah Dir Rabbanan, so there's Machlokes Ram and the Ramban, is that considered to be a chiyuv gam a mitzvah min haTorah? So the Rambam shit is that every time you do a mitzvah Dir Rabbanan, you're fulfilling the mitzvah deraisa of listening to the Chachamim. So when I light Neres Chanukah, that's a mitzvah deraisa. It's like putting on tefillin. Putting on tefillin is a mitzvah deraisa, and listening to the Chachamim is a mitzvah deraisa. So according to the Rambam, every mitzvah Dir Rabbanan that I do is the fulfillment of the mitzvah min haTorah of Yitzabapia Torah Sheyarucha. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no, that you have to do the Rabbanan anyway for other reasons, and we spoke about that many times in the past. But the Ramban claims that's not really the mitzvah of Alpiyat Torah Sheyarucha. According to the Ramban, the mitzvah of Alpiyat Torah Sheyarucha means you have to listen to the Chachamim when they explain to you what to klal within their eyes. So they tell you what's Shmir Shabbos, so you have to listen to their understanding. They tell you what's Kashrut, so you have to listen to them. You decide to run your own religion, so then you're in violation of Alpiyat Torah Sheyarucha. But to fulfill a mitzvah of the Ramban is not per se a mitzvah midaraisa, according to Shittas of Ramban. So the Rav said that even though the Ramban and the Ramban have a machlokes about whether the fulfillment of the Maisa mitzvah of the Rabbanan constitutes a Maisa mitzvah of the level of the Raisa, Kuleyama Lepligi, that learning about mitzvahs of the Rabbanan for sure is Tamatar Midaraisa. That's the question. that whenever the Chama infant did something, that becomes a chepsa of Torah, that becomes an element of Torah midaraisa, that's chalon v'shem Torah shem apena midaraisa. So when you go, let's say you're learning Maseches Erev the whole year, you're learning Maseches Begil the whole year, you're learning about Befarinechta for 3 weeks. So that whole takana Befarinechta was only mid the Rabbana, Tavatoi the Rabbana, not the Yotze Tavatoi the Rai, that's ridiculous. So the Rav said that any part, whatever becomes Nitfas out of Hashem, Chepsa Shal Torah, becomes elevated to become a Chepsa for Torah on the level of Deraisa. So when we learn Dim Derabbana, not only are we fulfilling Tabatari Deraisa, but very, very often a lot of the secrets about the Dim Deraisa can be actually understood through the world of Derabbana. Very often when we learn details of Derabbana, that sheds a whole new light on the very essence of the mitzvah of Deraisa. So you find that very, very often in Huchas Brachas, that theme comes across loud and clear in Huchas Brachas. Let's say Lamashal, like, a couple of years ago, so we learned a lot about the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So you can learn an awful lot about what Tashbisu is from the Nuscha Bracha, Biyah Chavetz. Well, let's say there's a big machloikis and we're showing him about is the mitzvah mila, a mitzvah that's on the child, is the mitzvah on the father, is the father representing the child. So you can learn a lot from is the nusach al hamila, is the nusach al mol sabein, or pinjaben, is the nusach al pinjaben, is the liftos sabein. So there are a lot of shadows deraisa that can become clear from details in terms of Hilchos Brachos, which themselves are only mid the Rabbanim. So over here, the Rambam tell us that we have common things pointing in the direction that the mitzvah is not really tekiah. The mitzvah is the shmiya. The keil is sochabor. It's not going to hear. It's if you don't hear the call. The fact that I don't blow shofar. The maltekeah blows and I hear it. So I mean, yaitzei the shmiya sa shofar. So you see, tekiah is not so important. And the mitzvah bracha also the shmiya shofar indicates that the mitzvah is the shmiya. So what is the pasuk about tekiah for? So what is the meaning of tekiah? Tikkah b'chadish. They shivu b'chadish shofar. So the answer is, the Rambam would tell you that you need a tekiah, because if you don't have a tekiah, it's going to be hard, kind of hard to hear it. So the tekiah is not really the mitzvah itself, the tekiah is like the machshir mitzvah. Same way you have to go to the store and buy a shofar, so someone's got to blow. So you need a baltekeah, because otherwise no one's going to hear. So the role of the baltekeah is to create this tekiah. He throws the tekiah up into the air, and then everybody's eardrums pick up that tekiah. And they yaitze the mitzvah, but the role of the tekiah is not really the davashal mitzvah, quite the shittis and rambam. So this is a little bit difficult to understand. There's such a downplaying of the word tekiah, and such an emphasis on the shmiya, so it's hard to understand according to the rambam. So why is the mishnah saying in the end of the third parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that the baal tekiah has to be a mechuyav b'davar? If the baal tekiah is a woman or a katan or a goy, so then I can't be yaitze the tekiah. According to the rambam, if the goal of tekiah shofar, the tekiah is just to throw the coal up into the air, so machbati, whether a woman throws it up, a cotton throws it up, what's the difference? So coal is a coal is a cotton, so I can latch on to any coal that's up in the air. So akorchach, you have to say, the Echrem explained that even according to Shitz Rambam, the mitzvah shmias coal shal mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to hear a sound of a ram's horn in Rosh Hashanah. The mitzvah is to hear the tekiah shal mitzvah. So we have a din when it comes to mitzvahs that very often, only someone who's mechuy b'davar has the ability to create that chefta shal mitzvah. Say, l'moshel, Rabbi say, b'tar tzvon mezuzos. So if you're not a mechuy b'davar, you can't create that chefta. Or let's say we have by Bashchita. So Tzaisus writes, if you're not mechuy b'in the yisur of the veil, you can't be the one to be the shayfet. So very often, to create cheftas, to create chalaisim, to create entities in halacha, you have to be shayach to that particular halacha. That's why we're going to talk about this a lot in the second parak of Maseches Gittin. We just figure out who can be a shliach, who can't be a shliach. So you have to be someone who Gittin speaks to. If you're a person who's ain't a b'tayrus getting the kedushin, so you can't be shliach for getting the kedushin. Maybe we have a lot to talk about in the second parak. So that's what the Rambam seems to say here also, that the baal tekeah has to be a bar hochi to create a chefetz of a kol shel mitzvah. Once he creates that chefetz of a kol shel mitzvah, so then I can latch on to that kol shel mitzvah, that can be yitzu. What's unclear according to the Rambam is that why does the Gemara say in Rosh Hashanah Kavches that the baal tekeah has to be him in mind to be mitzi me? Why is that so important? According to the Rambam, there's no shachas in the baal tekeah and the shemeya. So why is there halacha of kavanas hamashmiya? What do you mean kavanas baal tekeah? It's difficult to understand according to Shitz Rambam. But Rabbi Natam had a different understanding, at least one version. There were two versions of what Rabbi Natam said, but one version of Rabbi Natam had a very, very different way of understanding what tekiah shayach was all about. According to Rabbi Natam, of course, shmiya is very, very important. If you blow and you don't hear, you're not yotzei. But Rabbi Natam said the significance of Shmiyah is not at the expense of Tekiyah. They're both important. According to Benatam, there are two parts of the mitzvah. There's Tekiyah Sashofa and Shmiyah Sashofa. You have to have both in order to be Yaitzeh. So according to Benatam, how come if I don't blow the shofar, why am I Yaitzeh? How am I Yaitzeh by Tekiyah? Tekiyah is not just Eich HaTimtzeh, it's part of the Yetzim HaMitzvah. So how am I Yaitzeh? So the Acharonim explained that it must be based on Shmiyah Ta'inah. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamecha says that whenever you have a mitzvah Shebedibur, so you can be yaitzeh the mitzvah Shebedibur through Shmiyah as well, based on the whole halacha Moshe Sinai, like Sukkah Minavi, but it's not halacha Moshe Sinai, but Shmiyah Ta'inah. So we rely on this for Kiddush and for Pasha Zocha, we rely on this all the time. So Pashas, according to Ben Atam, Shemea Koine doesn't only mean Shemea Milim, Shemea words. Shemea means and sounds also. So whenever there's a mitzvah satoira that either to produce words or to produce a tekiyah, so if I hear somebody else's tekiyah, so I can be yaitzeh to Shemea Koine as well. So now we understand, according to Ben Atam, why it's important for the Batukiyah to be Mechui B'davar, because whenever we invoke Shemea Koine, the Mashmiya, the person who's the Menaber, always has to be Mechui B'davar. Because he's being made to be in a certain extent. So Adi has to be a Mechui B'davar. I also understand why it's important that you have to have Kavana, because if I'm latching onto his Tekiyah, there's a real connection between the two. It's not just I'm latching onto a cold Alma. And then he's being made, his Tekiyah is being made to me. So that's a different part of the Klal of Mitzvah Kavana means that he has to have in mind that his Tekiyah should relate to me. Otherwise, his Tekiyah doesn't connect to me. It's not Mitzvah to me. That's why, according to one version of Rabbeinu Tam, the correct bracha on Tekiyah Shofar is tachan l'tkoa al Tekiyah Shofar. According to some Mishnah, the version of Rabbeinu Tam, that the bracha is tachan not l'shmo kol shofar. There are different versions as to what exactly Rabbeinu Tam said. The Baal HaMor would say that the reason why Rabbeinu Tam showed what the nusach of bracha is, Baal HaMor is a chiddush gadol l'hilchos Tekiyah Shofar. He claims that b'zman Chazal, they never made a bracha before blowing shofar. So the making of a bracha on shofar is a new invention in the last 1,000 years. Bizman the Amorim, they didn't make a bracha when they blew shofar. Why? Because the Amorim is a whole thousand thousand chiddush that almost none of the Rishonim accepted. Amor claims that Bizman Chazal, they did not blow shofar before Musaf like we do. If you look in the Mishnayos, there's no mention anywhere of blowing shofar before Musaf. The Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah talk about blowing al Seidah brachas. So where did the blowing before Musaf come from? So most of the Rishonim say that's what the Gemara means in Rosh Hashanah. Lama tokim shem yoshu mitokim shem umdin. Why do we blow twice? Whatever that means. So most of the Rishonim assume that double tekiyas that Chazal are talking about, one is talking about drawing Shemen Hashem, drawing either Chazal Shat or Sa'ar, whatever it is, and the other is talking about the form of like we do. That's how most of the Rishonim learn. So Baal HaMor says that's not the right Pshat in the Gemara. What the Gemara means is like this, that you blow all Seidah Brachas, that's what the Mishnah says, and then Chazal added on, also to blow at the end of davening. That right before davening's over, you give another couple of kailas and call it a day, Lagos and Sotan, and send everybody home to go eat lunch. But the Baal HaMor claims was Ban Chazal, there was never Tekiyah Shofar before Musaf. So why change? Why do we institute Tekiyah Shofar before Musaf? So the Baal HaMor explains because people weren't staying in shul long enough, so they weren't they were packing out of Rebbe Shofar's, but Rebbe Skodim, they were already tired, so they were already kiddush clubs already were starting. So the people were Chachamim B'Gaonim were afraid that people wouldn't hear the proper amount of kailos, so therefore they wanted to cover our bases before Musaf. We blow all the kailos to make sure that at least Ben Torah everybody should hear, and then we continue to blow all Seidah Brachas. So most of the Rishonim don't say. Most of the Rishonim say that Bizman Chazal they used to blow before Musaf also, but the Baal HaMor claims they never did. That was an institution of the Gaonim. So the Baal HaMor Lishitosa says that according to me that they never blew before Musaf, so then there was never a bracha Shekin Shem Tzatzon on anything before Tekiyah Shofar. Because the Baal HaMor says when you do a mitzvah in the middle of a bracha, it's in the middle of a bracha, it's in the middle of Malchus. So when do you make a bracha and a mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah, it stands on its own. So about the imats, I gotta make a bracha. About Sheikh Mu, I gotta make a bracha. It's in Yisuch, I gotta make a bracha. There's Chadak, I gotta make a bracha. But if it's anyway couched in the middle of brachas, so then there's no need to recite a bracha. That's the reason why some Rishonim say we don't make a bracha on Kriyashma. It's couched in Avarabah. Yeah. Oh, very good. Excellent question. So some say that Me'ika Mikra didn't really have to make a bracha. Maybe that bracha is not a bracha chiyuv. It's possible. There's some who talk about that. They talk about why we don't make a bracha on Sikri Tzitz Mitzrayim. Some say because it's part of Baal Yisrael. It's couched in between the brachas and the Haggadah. So again, there are some who have such an idea. So according to the Baal HaMor, the only time you would ever make a bracha before blowing shofars, if you would be a chidus, because a yachid doesn't blow shofar or say that brachas. So the Dalmor claims it's not a Gemara. Who didn't come to Shul Rosh Hashanah? I kept Shul. Once in a blue moon, this guy was sick and didn't come to Shul Rosh Hashanah. So he once in a while made a bracha. But the Hamonan, you can go your whole life and never hear the bracha Asher Kedishan Tez Mitzvanu. So that's that. But now we understand why all of a sudden, according to Dalmor, once the Gaonim changed the practice and started, they stuck to Keshav before Mosuf. So now we have to make a bracha and place prayer. So now, Rishon all of a sudden had a machlekes. What's the Nitzchah bracha? According to everybody else, so the bracha has been around for thousands of years. So what, all of a sudden we make a bracha today and we can't figure out what the bracha was. But we said last year, but according to the Balmor, it makes a lot of sense because there was no bracha last year. It's not that nobody made brachas before shofar. Making bracha in the shofar was an innovation in the sense of the days of the guy. But whatever it is, the Rishon had a machlekes what the Nitzchah bracha is. So when the pasuk in Tehillim says tikka b'chodesh shofar, it speaks about tikkun. It speaks about the blowing. So, according to the Rambam, the tikkun is just a psechetim to get the shofar, get to the shmir. That's the real mitzvah. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, possibility no, that the tikkun is not a real component. It doesn't make too much of a difference for us. We need a kasha b'tikkun. For whatever reason, we need kavanah. I mean, you have to hear the shofar. So at the end of the day, everything is going to be the same. But a chop, a few nafkaminas here and there. We got to the bracha. We got other things. Whether you think tikkun is an integral part of the bracha. So the bottom line is the pasuk is Rambam starts this mitzvah. Tikkun b'chodesh shofar. So the pasuk in Tehillim describes b'kesel yem chayenu. The Rosh Hashanah is described in a very, very strange way as b'kesel yem chayenu. So the Gemara says, Ezu chag she'achodesh b'skasa boy. It's a chag. Because it's a chag, so that led some Rishonim to believe that it's subject to the other dinim that appear in a chag. What are some of the other halachas that apply to a chag? So there's a mitzvah b'samachta b'chayecha. It's one of the tag mitzvahs to be b'sameach on chagim. Some of the Rishayim say explicitly that Rosh Hashanah has all the characteristics of a chag, and Lagabi the mitzvah of Samach with Gechet kicks in. To such an extent that there was a Nusach HaTfil that the Rosh quotes at the end of the Rosh Hashanah, that when you daven or in the Kiddush of Rosh Hashanah, you say, Hatitul Hashanah can be Abba, Moadim Lusimcha, Chagim Lusbanim Lusosom, Yom Zikaron Uza. It's no less of a chag than the other Yom Tovim, and has to acknowledge as such. That was one Nusach HaTfilah. So the Rosh quotes, there was another Nusach HaTfilah that became more popular for us today that deleted the phrase Chag Muzman Musasa. It just jumps right away. That's what that meaning gives. So why do we leave out that phrase Chag Muzman Musasa? Because we don't think it's a Chag. It doesn't sound right. When I said the Pasuk calls it a Chag, we have a Kesem Chayenu. So why do we leave it out? So Rav Sholti in the Sefer Mishnas Yavetz and Chayim Chasim Oadim, so he suggests that maybe the reason why we leave out that phrase is not because we don't think it's a chag, about it's a chag. The reason why we leave it out is because the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah that we don't say halal on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, even though we should have it to Yom Kippur. We should say halal. So we leave out halal on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Yisim, Pesukim in front of that. The Svarim are open, and therefore it's not appropriate to say halal. What does that mean exactly? So you could learn Pshat that Gemara, meaning that to say halal is almost like a shtachta, the Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Yisim. Because if you really believe that it's a Yom Adin, so to say halal, it shows that you really don't believe that it's, if you really, really were Sifrei, you're really, really shaking about the Yom Misa, you wouldn't be belting out a halal. So the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam writes that the reason why we don't, Rambam seems to say that we don't say halal on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, is Ein Yimei Simcha Yaseirah, the Rambam uses the Lashon. They're not days of great, 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 great joy. Because we have this sword holding over our head, so therefore, they don't reach the amount of a Yom Tov that would require halal. So not Yimei Simcha Yaseirah. The Rambam's learning that there's some kind of a level, on a level of their eyes. The Rambam sounds like there is a mitzvah simchas yom tov Rosh Hashanah. If the Rambam said that there was no mitzvah simcha, could have told us there's no mitzvah simcha. The Rambam's came up with Eirish that there's a mitzvah simcha on Rosh Hashanah. But the Rambam develops this idea that there are dargas even within simcha. Even within chagim, bottom of sasa, there are degrees. So the Jolti suggests that just as we leave out the halal on Rosh Hashanah because it's not a Yom Simcha Yaseir and somehow it's not the right time to be belted on the halal, so too it's not the time to be screaming from the rooftops, Chag Muzman Musasim. So we leave it out, not because it doesn't exist. Itaka is Muad Musimcha, Itaka is Chag Muzman Musasim, but not everything that exists you have to always talk about all the time. Some things are left quiet. So in terms of pure halacha, is it chag? Is it simchas yontov? Pashup shad is that it is not a simchas yontov, and the regular halacha simchas yontov probably shouldn't apply to it. Pashup Pshat is according to Shittas Rambam, that in order to fulfill Sikh Shad, the property required Basa V'yayin. The Pashup Pshat is that you should have Basa V'yayin and Rosh Hashanah as well. The Magen Avraham quotes from one of the Rishonim that says that Rosh Hashanah should have Basa V'yayin and Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is too scary a time. It's not a time to be sitting around having Basa V'yayin. The Pashup Pshat is the Rambam wouldn't say that. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah Sikh Shad for Rosh Hashanah, and the Rambam defines it as simple being Basa V'yayin. To connect the dots, the Pashup Pshat is the Rambam wouldn't buy into that. I don't think the Olam would play like that. The Sheet of the Magen Avraham, people have Lashiks on Rosh Hashanah. People eat Rosh Kevis. Rosh Kevis is a Basar. People eat Basar on Rosh Hashanah. I think people do drink a little bit of wine on Rosh Hashanah. We shouldn't all go overboard. We shouldn't go overboard in Yom Tavida. But have a little bit of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, so it's probably appropriate. The Einim quote, there was a practice in some place in the days to go to him, that people would fast on Rosh Hashanah. There were two different practices. There were some who fasted on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and there were those who fasted both days of Rosh Hashanah. And those who didn't want to fast on the first day, because their rice taking day was too, their rice, you don't want to camp with Sifat Yantim. The second day already they were willing to fast. There are others who seem to have fasted on both days of Rosh Hashanah. So the other Rishayim, the Rosh, and others point out that it's a very, very hard meaning to accept, because the Pesukim don't seem to bear this out. The Pesukim in Sefer Ezra describe what Rosh Hashanah was like in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. So it describes that, it actually describes 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, because that year Elul turned out to be Elul. The Gemara says that the room of the times, Elul only has 29 days. Even when they used to be Kasha Piriya, so most of the time there were only 29 days of Elul, and they were pretty sure that Rosh Hashanah was going to be, the 30 days was going to be Al Tishrei. But every once in a while, it wasn't that way, and one of the times in history where Elul turned out to be Mulva for some strange reason was the days of Ezra. Lashon HaGemara Matzim Me'Emes Ezra Ve'Elech Elul. El should be the Umar, so very, very rare, but it happened. It happened once in a while. So in the days of Ezra, Taka, there was a second day of Rosh Hashanah. Even the Beis Hamikdash says, "I'm the second day of Rosh Hashanah." The first day was a fake, because it turned out that the way we have our calendar set up, so the first day is always the real day, and the second day is the Derabantika day. But in the olden days, if it turned out the Edom never showed up by the end of the first day, so then it turned out the first day was just preparation, was just a fake, and then the second day was the real Rosh Hashanah. So Lamai said, the days of Ezra, Taka Haba. That they had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and the Pesukim described that Ezra told everybody that they should eat, they should drink, they should enjoy themselves, because people were, that Pesuk says, they were davening for a long time in the morning, they were being chayz b'tshuva, and it was laming Chris, I'll tell you anyway, tshuva convention. And then later in the afternoon, so Ezra told everybody they should go home, they should eat, and they should enjoy, they should be b'simcha, because it's a yantif. So that's what the Rishonim point out. The Minhag HaKohanim is very, very difficult. The Minhag HaKohanim sounds like half a meter of the people that you're supposed to fast and cry the whole day. But Ezra told them they were wrong. Ezra told them, Ad Kabbal Yaisi, Davin Tul Chatzais, Lomit Pes Chatzais, but you have to go home and your family, go eat as soon as you want it. So it's a very, very difficult Minhag HaKohanim to defend. So that's why we don't follow that. Shulchan Aruch, we follow the practice that you're not supposed to fast in Rosh Hashanah. That the second half of the day of Rosh Hashanah, so you celebrate. It's a little bit toned down, but when you still celebrate, it's still considered to be by Kesali and Chayenu. The Tosha Rebbe explains to us that the Kesem Chagena means that the Chodesh is Miskasabo. So the simple reading of what that means, the Chodesh Miskasabo, means that you can't see the moon. So Tosha's quotes one pshat from one of the Rishonim that says, no, that we don't treat it like Rosh Chodesh. We don't do anything on Rosh Hashanah that anything to do with Rosh Chodesh. And we don't mention the Sar of Rosh Chodesh. The Maaseh HaPasuk says, bring it, Mavad. It says Beferish, no. The Pasuk says you bring the carpet oila. You bring the carpet oila, you bring the schatas, it's very different. The Pasuk says that we do bring the regular carbonus ayom of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. So maybe we don't talk it up so much, but we still do it. So we do a few things here and there to tone down. We don't make such a fuss that it's Rosh Chodesh. We do say Musfei Yom HaZikaron Hazeh, because the Maaseh is Rosh Chodesh. But we tone it down a little bit. That's what some say. That's why we don't have Shabbos Mevorchim. Technically, this Shabbos should be to Shabbos Mevorchim. So we get, in our shul, we usually have a Shabbos Mevorchim Kiddush. So we get out of a Kiddush to Shabbos, because it's not Kiddush Mevorchim. Because it's Rosh Hashanah, so the Kesem Chagenu. Whenever you don't want to talk about Rosh Chodesh, you just call it the Kesem Chagenu. So you tone it down. But the Maaseh is Rosh Chodesh. Obviously, it is Rosh Chodesh. At the same time that it is Rosh Hashanah. So the Pasuk says, Ki chayt v'yisrael hu mishpat lelaki Yaakov. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah has a comment that this Pasuk, Ki chayt v'yisrael hu mishpat lelaki Yaakov, is referring to to the Kiddush HaChodesh. It's referring to the declaration of Rosh Chodesh. There are many, many bidim that are actually derived from this pasuk. Well, the whole sugya, we're going to talk a lot about this later on in Maseches Gittin. It's going to come up in Gittin and Hey, about some of the dinim of the Beis Din that's necessary for Kiddush HaChodesh, Beis Din for Gittin and Beis Din for Kiddush HaChodesh, some of the similarities, differences. So the whole Kiddush HaChodesh process is called the Mishpat Elokei Yaakov. It's a Mishpat Bayom of Kiddush HaChodesh Bayom. This is the source that you have to make Kiddush HaChodesh after the daytime. Because Dinei Torah have to be in the daytime. That's a big Machlokes Rishon, and we're going to spend hopefully a lot of time on that later on, about whether a get has the status of a mishpat, can you be misad a kitten by night. So there was one day in Rishon, it says you can't have any seder kitten by night, but it's a mishpat. Rishon said, well, it doesn't have that quality of mishpat. So that's a lot to discuss at the end of days. But the Gemara says there are other things that are mamish mishpat, so mamishpat bayam and kiddush achadish bayam. So kiddush achadish does take place in the daytime. So it's for this reason that the Gemara says in the end of the fourth paragraph of the Sechus Brachas that if a person forgot to say Yalav Yavo the night of Rosh Chodesh and Maariv, you don't have to go back. Technically, you should go back for missing Yalav Yavo. The Gemara says in the Sechus Shabbos, in the second Berak, that any Askara that's a Askara Deraisa, any day that has a Kiddush Hayom in a Torah, so if you're left out of mentioning that in the davening, you have to repeat the davening. Anything that's only been the Rabbanim, you don't have to go back. Why is that? What the Gemara is saying is that when you have a Yom Deraisa, so the Yom is Nitzvah Seskacha. This is a new entity. This day is defined. The Shabbos, the Shantar, the Shachar, the Shalom. This is the very essence of the day. When you have a Mitzvah Derabbanan, so Chanukah is a regular week. There's no Chavtza for Chanukah. There's no Chalashayim of Purim. It's a regular day. It's the 14th day of Adar, which has a lot of Mitzvahs to do. You have to have your Shalach Manas and your Suda, you have to read the Megillah. But in terms of the essence of the day, Is there a chalosh shame of Yom Purim? It's a different day on the calendar. It's not really a different day on the calendar. Chanukah is not really a different day on the calendar. The Raises are different days on the calendar. Why did that idea come from? So there are many Acharonim who say that Yisurei Torah, Yisurei Chefza, only a Kodesh Baruch Hu can change the Teva Dvar. Kodesh Baruch Hu can make that this piece of meat has a Chefza finish. I have an egg that was cooked by a non-Jew. It's Bishalachim. I can't eat it. But it's not a Chefza of Tarfus. It's Israel and Gavra. Gavra is not allowed to eat something that was cooked by a non-Jew. But in terms of the Chetz Advarim, only Kodesh Baruch Hu Mamish changes the Teva. That's in Meshach Chochma like that in Parsha Shoftim. It's a big machlokes about that. Rabbi Yosef Engel disagreed with that. Meshach Chochma claims such a thing. Hopefully we'll get the Gittin later on. There's a sugi about this in Gittin, also later on in the first Baruch, about possible differences between the Raisis. Mamish changed the Etzem Adavar and the Rabban and the Tzemai Surim with the tangential Menachot. So that's probably what the Gemara is driving at here also, that if I missed the Shabbos, the davening, I didn't daven today. Today means Shabbos. If I missed the Chol HaMoed, I didn't daven today. If I missed the Al Anis, the Chanukah Purim, daven. The regular Tuesday, I forgot to say Al Anis, the world's not going to come to an end. Or I forgot to say Anein on Yom Tainus. No, the world's not going to come to an end. But if I missed the Deraisa, that's a problem. So the Gemara says that if you miss Yalav Yom and Shabbos, that's a big, big problem. The only thing is, the Gemara says, if you miss Yalav Yom at night, so you get a free pass on that. Why? For totally tangential reason, because Eva Kasha is the Chedesh Balayla. Because anyway, the Beis Din wasn't the Kasha Chedesh till the next morning, so therefore, if you missed Yalav Yavo, it's not the end of the world. There's the famous Kasha that's asked. That makes sense in the olden days when they used to be the Kasha Pierre-Ia. So it could be like at night, I didn't really know Trish Chodesh yet. I'm not 100% certain it's Trish Chodesh, so you don't go back. But Bizman has said we have a calendar. I know Trish Chodesh. It says on the calendar. Today's Rosh Chodesh Kislev. I know exactly what Rosh Chodesh is. So, machpatli that 1,500 years ago, they weren't Mekash HaChodesh HaLayla. Why does that not require me to repeat the Yalav Yavu Bizman is there? So the Rav, in a famous Biur, the Rav explained, that the saying of Yalav Yavu and Davening is more than just Askar B'Alma. It's the Kiddush HaChodesh of Klal Yisrael. The Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvahs, that Bizman HaZeh, we don't have a base into Mekash HaChodesh, so Klal Yisrael Mekash HaChodesh. But our niyug of Rosh Chodesh, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam writes, that's the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, because Rosh Chodesh was in Eretz Yisrael. So the fact that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are observing Rosh Chodesh, that's what gives it the taik of a condition of Rosh Chodesh. So again, one nikabu forgot to Yalav Yavo, so that's a rumor for everybody, but it's the basic declaration of Yalav Yavo, the observance, the niyug of Klal Yisrael being Rosh Chodesh, that's what kicks off the condition of Rosh Chodesh. So that declaration of Yalav Yavo is very, very, very important, but yo, not so important, Balayla. You left it out at night, so the world's not going to come to an end. So that's the famous din that appears in the fourth book. Brachas, if you forgot to say Yalav Yavo at night, then Nishka Felach. So the Chayyad of Rosh Hashanah quotes from one of the one of the Echareinim, who says that, what if you forgot to say Melech HaKadosh on the first night of Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says in Masechus Rosh Hashanah that Ki Chaykli Yisrael Hu Mishpat Lecha Yaakov, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sit in the Kisya Mishpat until Chaykli Yisrael, until Klal Yisrael declare it to be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So that's when the din begins. So the din in Shemayim does not begin the night before. All the minhagim, all the things that we have about the din, the Shas HaDin, don't really start till the daytime. That's why you're allowed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah night. The Yerushalmi says you should try not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, because if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to have to sleep here. No, it's not a good thing to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. So it's not a din, it's a bad idea to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. So that doesn't apply to night. You're allowed to sleep at night, Rosh Hashanah, because it's not a din anyway. If Rosh is judging you, it's not right. You should be fast asleep. So the Ariya Kodesh says that that only applies in the first half of Rosh. That doesn't apply after Chatzos. The same way that we end the davening around Chatzos time. Why do we spend all the morning davening and then in the afternoon we're eating? So the Ariya Kodesh explained, because the din is in the morning. The Varshalom, the Varshalom's running a 4 o'clock afternoon session. The mind says, we're still lit. So the din is over already in the morning. So whatever was decided was ready to start before Chatzos. Therefore the Ariya Kodesh said, you want to take a nap in the afternoon. You're allowed to take a nap in the afternoon. So it's a very mundane thing. A lot of people, what they do is, they're very knackered. They won't take a nap at Rosh Hashanah at 3 o'clock, but they get up at 8 o'clock in the morning to daven. So they slept the first 3 hours of din, they were fast asleep. So really, the right thing to do is to get up. You should get up and sit and learn. And obviously, you can do something. That's the more correct thing to do. I'm not saying you have to do that, but it makes more sense than the person who sleeps till 8 o'clock, and then he sits the whole afternoon and schmoozes because he doesn't want to go to sleep at Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon. We should work also in the Echareinim that if you, the only time it makes sense to observe this minute and not sleep in Rosh Hashanah is if you can do something productive. You can say, tell him you're going to learn, you're going to tashlich, you're going to go to chesed, do something productive. Sit around and just shoot the breeze and talk Lashon Hara, just have the Dvar Mtelim. So Yeshivat Maski Yashin Dovitz. It's nice to think. So it's also bizarre to the din. Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging you and you're playing, I don't know, what are you playing? Settle or something, whatever you play on Yom Tov. So it's not right. So Prince are trying not to do those things on Rosh Hashanah. Anyway. Get back to the story. But Akash Baruch Hu doesn't judge the world at night, that's for sure. He must be fairish that the din doesn't start until the next morning. So Chayyadu quotes one of the Echmer who says, why do we say Amelach HaKadosh during this aspect of Shubah? Because it's the time of din. So but the din doesn't start until the next morning. So the same way the Gemara says, if you forgot Yalav Yavam and then Ayavash Kadosh Mishkefelach, if you forgot Amelach HaKadosh, it's also Mishkefelach. That's a famous psak of the Chayyadu. So the Rav didn't accept that psak. The Rav didn't think that psak was correct. Because Rav Chaim had a whole view that whenever you have a sofa in davening, there are certain things we add to davening. We say Masharuah, we say Talmud, we say Alviyav, and Anenu, Alisa, Alviyav. So you always have to figure out whether that whole sofa is a whole sofa. It's an insertion, or it's an integral part of the tefillah proper. So that's a big machloek. You say Masharuah. So the Gemara says that hefty year we say Masharuah, hefty year we don't say Masharuah. So what's pshat? It's pshat that. Basically, the text of Shemoneh Esrei does not have Mashiach Ruach in it. But there are certain parts of the Yiddi. Most of the Shemim, Chazal said as an insertion and in the phrase Mashiach Ruach. What's Pshat? No. Is that there were two different texts of Shemoneh Esrei that we instituted. Half the year, the text, the Mosek Shem, the text is Azoy. The Mosek Chama, the text is Azoy. Mashiach Ruach is an integral part of the text of Shemoneh Esrei. When you say it, it's not just Azavim ben Achutz. My Nafkamina, is whether you say Mashiach Ruach Mordeh Geshem on Goshem. Because according to the rules of Diktok, so whenever you have a segel at the end of a phrase, so then it becomes a kamatz. So if Mashiach Ruach Hamoed something, if it's a phrase in and of itself, it's a bracketed phrase that was inserted into the Shemoneh Esrei, so then it's a sof pasuk. So Mashiach Ruach Hamoed Gashem is a period. So if it's a period, then it should be Moed Gashem. If it's a part of the bracha, so half the year Mashiach Ruach is bechal. You don't say bechal chayim. The chosen, you say mechal kan chesed. You're still talking. So Mashiach Ruach, you're in a yeshiva. You're still talking. It's not a It's just a one long bracha. So then the correct bracha should be the correct phrase should be Mashiach Ruach Amar Hageshem. So there are different rhugim about that, about what you're saying. So you have to always be careful to figure out whether something is an integral part of the davening or not. So the Rav explained that Yalav Yavo is a davar min achutz. So Yalav Yavo is a hosofi, pilpul. So is it such an important hosofi? Not important hosofi. So in Shachar, it's very important. It's very important. By not so important. You pilpul went back even now. Hamelach Hakodesh, the Rav said, Chazal Misagim that this is the nusach habracha. Joiner says Mechuma. So if you said Akel Hakodesh, it's not because you missed the hosofi. You didn't dash for Esrei. That's like I forgot to say Mekavet Tzivchem Israel. I said my own. I said Baruch Hashem something else. Then Mekavet Tzivchem. You missed one of the brachas that Chazal Masachet. He said, you said Akel HaKadosh, and he says, but you didn't have Ma'ariv that night. It's not going to help me the fact that I didn't catch this Chodesh Balayla. If the Ma'ariv that says Mechuvah, and Chazal Masachet, and he says, that's the Gemara says, the end of the first brachah of brachas, and Chazal Masachet, and he says, Mechuvah, the same Melech HaKadosh, that was the Mishra Brach, the same way that according to many, not saying Mashiach Ruach in the Mosav Shalom, you didn't have Mishra Esrei. So that's why the Rav didn't think this Psaq was correct. Forget Yesh V'Yesh, I'm trying not to make mistakes. Most people down with the Machs Menemer the first night. Most people don't know Chayn Tehach Kalei Heart. So most people down with the Machs. So if you down with the Machs, you won't have this mistake. But if you miss the Melech HaKadosh on the first night, you're going to find yourself right smack in this Lomdash Machloikis between the Chayyotim and the Rav. But how to understand the relationship between the Melech HaKadosh and the Alviyot. But it all started because of this possible Chayyot Yisrael Mish B'Lofiyah. Anyway, so again, we try to speak a little bit about some of the halachas of this possible. A lot of other Jewish about this possible. A lot of important Hashkaf about this possible. So we'll see, maybe at some point we'll talk about it in a shul or shoshana. Those who come down by us, we'll hear. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit at the end of this week. Okay, everybody say, so open the mission for tomorrow. We'll go back to our regular scheduled learning. And what's it we up to? We're up to Dam Shabir, right? Okay, so guys, try to get rolling. Try to see if we can finish Dam Shabir for this.